Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Darian Kovacs, who is the founder of the Vancouver-based PR, digital ads, and SEO company called Jelly Digital Marketing and PR. He is also the founder of the digital marketing school called Jelly Academy. So today we're going to be discussing Darian's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Darian.
Well, thanks for hosting me today.
Absolutely. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sounds good.
Okay. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur and agency owner?
I think I'm always loved the art side of things and the creative side of things. And so the chance to do something creative and artistic and helping people grow their creation and their babies and their organizations is such a joy and such a thrill. And so getting to actually make a living and get paid to do that is even cooler. And so Every day we get to wake up and help all these different brands come up with new ideas to reach their audiences and to grow their business and help others.
Yes, it can be such a challenge, but it's so fun at the same time. And I think there's nothing like that feeling of pride that you have when you finish a job and you're just so proud of the work and, you know, hopefully your client's happy as well. But it's such a great feeling when you know, you've put your heart and soul into this work for your client. It's helping to grow their business and you're just so proud of that work.
But I say I don't get that as much. So we're in a unique spot where I somewhat envy my friends who work on kind of like the ad side of things or the web side of things, because they get to start a project, end a project, have a wrap party, you know, like at The Office when they did the website launch party, right? And everyone had sushi and it was all over Zoom, if you remember that episode. But we, in a sense, I remember saying to a friend, I was like, it's like he gets to have these like really intense, amazing relationships with the clients that last for a micro period of time. Mm-hmm. But for us, we, in a sense, we're married to the client and we are in an ongoing relationship where every week and every month we're trying to come up with new ideas, new ways to keep that marriage fresh, that relationship fresh.
Yeah.
And even when we have a really good month, it's like, that's really great to celebrate, but it's like, oh man, we're still going next week. It's like the never ending project. But I love that about it because we can play the long game. We can work really hard. We can see the growth in the same way. It's like if you think about working out versus steroids, we get a chance to work with people in the long run. And, you know, after 6 months or 9 months, after really good SEO work or really smart ad work and, you know, using the data, we can save them a ton of money, whether it's ad spend, you know, where they were seeing it wasted, or getting to see that organic traffic really spike.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I know it's so rewarding at the end of the day when you're able to see the results from your hard work along the way. So I'm curious, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
You know, in previous jobs I was always dabbling and doing digital marketing, especially in youth work.
Okay.
I was a youth worker for many years. And so at the time, a website called Nexopia had launched, a website called MySpace had launched. Mm-hmm. I was still taking some courses at university. So I had an @uvic.ca email address. And so this website called Facebook had launched and I was on there. And then I worked for an organization that was wanting to build an app. And so I got into building an app for the App Store, one of the original kind of iOS Apple App Store apps.
Oh, that's so cool.
I found that world fascinating.
Yeah.
And then I had the privilege of getting to work for a law firm in Vancouver that was launching a couple fundraising software tools, mm-hmm. One of them is called Charitable Impact, an incredible tool that helps people have donor advised funds and people raising money, kind of like a Canada Helps alternative, but a bunch more really cool bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. And so I was in that world. And then eventually I realized I really wanted to do stuff in the charity sector and help charities and help them raise money. But at the same time, I'd love the chance to do corporate work and the learnings from corporate and getting to work on bigger budgets and bigger projects. And so we launched Jelly with the idea of getting to serve large brands and at the same time getting to work with charities. And so, and the learnings go both ways.
Yeah.
Micro budgets, getting to work, having to work really smart with a small budget, but then also very large budgets that just gives you the chance to experiment a bit more.
So interesting. And then, so charities, is that still a vertical that you really focus on serving, or have you opened up and now you're serving multiple industries? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's probably about 5 to 10% of our clientele is still in the charity sector. Mm-hmm. We had the great opportunity. Google actually chose us to actually run the Google ad grant for a charity just because of our experience and connection to that charity. Mm-hmm. And we love it. And again, we early on, we registered as a B Corp, which again, the idea being is how do we run business as a force for good? And being able to even work with some businesses that maybe aren't registered as charities, but they're using their business as a force for good.
I love it. That's so cool. So yeah, kind of back up a moment and tell us a little bit about your story around starting Jelly Digital Marketing in PR.
Yeah, I was out for brunch with my mother and we went to a beautiful place, Fairmont Waterfront. It was for Mother's Day. And on the table, there was these little jars of jelly. And I was like, that would make a great business card. So I actually took a few home with me that day. I checked on GoDaddy and saw that jellymarketing.com was available. So I bought it. Mm-hmm. And that's where the name came from. And then I soaked the jelly jars in a sink for a while to peel off the stickers. And then I put new stickers on top that I had ordered with our brand.
I love it. Very creative. Yeah.
Launched the website. And then early on, because I've been doing a lot of work kind of in the fundraising sector and doing apps, most of our early work was doing marketing for apps, mm-hmm. or doing work for charities that needed campaigns done. And then we grew from there. So I Lazy Boy Furniture became an early client, and that really helped kind of set us up as a brand that is, could deal with larger names, even though Lazy Boy it was two brothers that owned four locations, but it just really helped. We got to do some work with Lego on a couple projects locally. This is a fun fact. The Lego movie was coming out with Warner Brothers, and we did a campaign with a bunch of mom bloggers. Mm-hmm. About 40 across Canada, who, if you didn't know, are the OGs of influencers. And so we worked with them all. And then we realized that they didn't have representation. So we decided to represent some mom bloggers and set up a little agency called Sociable Society, which was one of the first influencer agencies in Canada. It's since been acquired located down in LA. So it was very exciting getting even to watch, because we worked predominantly in the PR space, mixed mm-hmm. with SEO, mixed with digital ads and social. But getting to see kind of the rise of the influencer starting with mom bloggers.
Interesting. Okay. So you mentioned that you had, Lazy Boy as one of your early clients and Lego. So how did you initially get those first few clients? Yeah. What efforts did you put into place to connect with, Lazy Boy and Lego to bring them on as clients?
Yeah, I've never actually, I don't think anyone knows this story, but my wife is a trained linguistics person. Like she and goes into places, like has worked in Pyongyang for a long time doing English training. And so she had some friends come over who were doing English training in Guatemala. And she goes, hey, I'm going to work with the wife, a good friend of mine. And can you just hang out with the husband, maybe do something. I don't know. It's just what you do, right? When a couple comes over and the other partner you need to do. And I never met this guy.
Yeah.
But we got together, we got to know each other well, and he was such a nice guy, brilliant. Tell me what he did and his work in Guatemala, because he goes down and they do incredible work there. And he happened to be friends with one of the two brothers that own the Lazy Boy locations. And he's like, hey, I'm going to tell Tim about you. So then I got a call the next week from Tim and say, hey, I want to meet you. I've heard great things from my friend and I really trust him. So then Tim invited me in to meet him and his brother. And so we told him what we could do. They took a risk on us. We did a couple things which we've never done since, but we were like, hey, we'll try to get these results and these are the guarantees. If we don't, we'll refund this money back, which again was a bit of a thing. Scary. To be like, hey, we really want to get this client. And we did, and we got them, and we met those goals, and then we continued to work with them since. And then we got to work with the Toronto franchises as well, which is owned by another amazing family.
Yeah.
And then Lego was someone was who was in the youth group, was now in university and doing a project. Mm-hmm. And so we did a Lego build event, and I got connected with Robin Sather, who is a professional Lego builder. And then
very cool.
Robin got involved as a judge, and then Robin reached out and said, hey, Lego Canada is looking for some PR marketing help in these areas. And Robin connected us to Lego corporate, which again then turned into actually my favorite author that I love, Douglas Copeland, who's also a sculptor amongst many things. Mm-hmm. Again, Robin connected us as well, because Douglas was doing a project with Lego and getting kind of crowdsourced towers made. And so we actually got to work on that project as well, which was a dream come true. It was like, he's my favorite author. I got to meet him and go to his house, and like, we fed birds together. And it was like, again, I felt like such a fanboy meeting, you know.
That's
like
amazing.
I read like all of his books. And if people don't know Douglas Copeland, he was the person who coined the phrase Generation X. So he wrote the book Generation X, and we now use the term like Generation Y and Z and all those things, thanks to Douglas Copeland.
So cool. I love that story. Okay. So it sounds like it was, you know, a lot of word of mouth referrals that sort of just helped get you guys started, so, and good, great timing, obviously a lot of hard work as well on your part. But so what do your lead generation efforts look like now? You know, how do you continue to grow Jelly Digital Marketing and PR and bring in more leads into your agency?
We had the chance to actually, like, we treat Jelly as a client. And so we've done SEO for ourselves. We've done PR for ourselves. And so thanks to that effort, if you Google search, you know, PR Agency Canada, we show up in the rankings, whether listed on Clutch or Upcity or just organically, we're there. You Google search Vancouver SEO Agency, which is a very hard term, we show up. But that's really up. So again, we had cold outreaches from like Vistaprint, for example, was looking for a PR agency in Canada, or Uni, which is a pizza oven out of Scotland. They're from Scotland. They reached out coldly because they Google searched PR agency Canada. And so those were how those came. And then we did this method, which again, it could be madness or wisdom. Yeah, I'll let you judge me and decide.
Okay.
We were like, there's an old term like feeding two birds with one grain. There's a violent version, which is like about killing the birds.
Killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah. But yeah. My grandma prefers like feeding two birds with one grain. It's
more like, not a little as bit nicer.
Yeah. So we found all the galas in Vancouver that had, you know, expensive, like, you know, $250 or more tickets. And we sponsor those galas, whether it was with video or photography, or the little favors at the table, or the gift bag at the end of the night. So anywhere from the Jewish Community Center to the Crystal Gala for Children's Hospital, we had a presence there. And that enabled our brand, even though we were like the small little, you know, three-person shop out in Abbotsford, in a little storeroom of another agency, we were kind of in their storage room, we appeared bigger than we were because we were like next to these very big brands and major organizations. Even though we didn't have cash to sponsor the gals, we had services and resources to service them. So that was really cool. Because then at the end of the night, the two birds with one grain idea is, even if we didn't get a lead from it or didn't get kind of the word out and kind of impressions that we would have wanted, we at least got to help out a really cool organization.
Yeah.
But that in turn, I was at one of these events, and the guy who was running at the time, managing director for Spence Diamonds, was there, and we started talking. I showed him my wife's ring that I bought on Etsy, and I was like, man, you can get engagement rings on Etsy, man. And he was like, he was great about it. And he's like, oh man, hey, I'm running this company called Spence Diamonds. You should come in next week, because I really love the fact that we're aligned on like similar causes. And you know, we got along great, and we met the next week, and they turned into one of our accounts.
So cool.
Yeah. And it was, again, it was a neat model and method. And then at this point, because of where we rank SEO and because of our PR work, I haven't had the chance in a long time to chase work or kind of pursue work. It's been more responding. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, we'll like, for a while there, we got really intentional about providing workshops and webinars for the legal sector. So law firms.
Okay. Yep.
And
yep.
That was really cool, because then you'd go to it. And if anything, again, two birds with one grain, it was people walked away feeling really empowered and educated. And in some cases, some people walked away being like, hey, I love that I now know this. I want to hire someone who knows it better than me. I'm going to hire you. And that turned into some good work there.
Interesting. Yeah. I absolutely love the idea of sponsoring a gala. And so was it a not-for-profit gala that, like, who was the company that was putting on the gala?
Yeah, we did like many a year. So anywhere from the Jewish Community Center to the Children's Hospital to Canuck Place to, oh man, you name it, to Salvation Army to Spartans Foundation. It was kind of all over the map.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned, it's such a great way to connect with like-minded people of the same values. And then, you know, it's so much more enjoyable working with people when you're aligned on the same values and your ethics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that sounds, yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. So tell me about you and what you're doing. How have you seen your leads come in and kind of growth for your own app?
Yeah. So with Review Robin, it's been a lot of networking through podcasting and also being guests on other people's podcasts as well. So podcasting has been a great way to just connect with other, we sell to agency owners specifically. So connect with a lot of agency owners from across the world and then also being guests on other podcasts as well. And then, you know, word gets out as well. So then you get, you know, organic signups as well that just come in. So definitely, you know, our SEO is something that we plan on boosting. It's honestly, we don't have a huge presence right now when it comes to SEO. I know that's super important, but it's just kind of been word of mouth, referrals coming in, and then networking and podcasting primarily.
It's amazing. So I've been running a podcast now for, I think it's now 6 years or so.
That's so cool.
More than that.
That's a long time.
We have our 400th episode being recorded today.
Congratulations.
That's great. I laugh because people ask me, like, I've seen zero work come of it. It's been donut holes as far as, because I think some people are super smart. Like there's a friend, Jordan West, runs an amazing agency called Upgrowth Commerce. He's got an amazing podcast and they're like intentional. They're like, let's bring on guests who could be some of our clients. Mm-hmm. And I've never done that. I was like, I just want to bring on people who are like way smarter than me. And they're way cooler than me. And they're so cool. They would never be our clients. And so I've always been like, and so none of them would ever turn into a client. But I've seen it personally for me, podcast has been like professional development and personal development. Cause I get I call it like micro mentorship moments with some of the most brilliant, like Guy Kawasaki was like the chief evangelist officer for Apple. He appears in actually that the biopic movies about Steve Jobs, but brilliant genius. Like in the half hour we had together, I was like, I learned so many great things and I came away with so many nuggets. And then the nice thing is people get to listen in on our conversation. It's like overhearing a very loud conversation at Denny's late at night.
So interesting. I know. So one thing I've really just found out that I'm so passionate about is sharing stories that inspire other people. So I love pulling things out of people, you know, the challenges that they've had to overcome, the stories of them starting their agencies. And I love just being the person who can share that with their listeners, because you really never know, you know, what's going to stick with you, what's going to inspire someone. And it's so fun to me and rewarding when you're able to just share that information with other people.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. So so my encouragement, if you are in agency land and webinars, workshops, the more you can do, the more you're willing to give away. And I think people's concern is, well, if I give it away, they won't need me afterwards. But I'm like, it almost kind of pre-qualifies and vets. You get the best clients coming from it. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, the charity stuff, like, you know, Uncle Ben had told his nephew at one point, hey, you know, those with great power have great responsibility, right? Yeah. And those words, you know, I think are really true for us as agencies. Like, we've got these superpowers. We know how to do amazing things. And so the more we can give back, and if you're like, okay, I'll take on a charity a year, I'll take on a couple charities a year. But if you're able to even intentionally use it as kind of like a, you know, dual purpose, you know, those galas are incredible for getting your name out there, getting the word out there, and really showcasing yourself as a brand to be trusted.
Yeah. I love it. That's such a great tip. So what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Jelly Digital Marketing and PR?
Oh man, so many challenges. We, first of all, our location, we are out in the valley, which is like outside of the city. So we're in the suburbs, like an hour outside the city. And so again, it's tricky for talent. So finding talent. So again, we had to figure out ways to like work with the Fraser Valley universities and colleges, but even then, a lot of them had aspirations to go downtown and to live in the big city after university.
Right. Yeah. So
talent was for sure a big one. And even now, I think there is some flexibility. I think that people are working hybrid. Like we do 2 days a week in our office now, 3 days from home. So
yeah,
we've got some of our staff who live in the city, but they're only having to commute 2 days a week. So it's not as difficult. Whereas we've had people who try to do the commute every day from the city and it was very difficult.
Just ends up being too much.
Yeah. 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 So that would be a challenge for sure. The other challenge for sure would be just trying to stand out from a lot of the bad actors. And so mm-hmm. a lot of people had bad experiences, especially with SEO, mm-hmm. also with PR, bad experiences with digital ads management. And so how do we rebuild trust in our sector? How do we mm-hmm. rebuild that trust with companies that want, you know, had a bad taste in their mouth from someone? And so it's having to rebuild that. And part of that inspiration was starting our academy. So we started a school to train digital marketers, but training them with the whole purpose of being like professionally certified, industry recognized professionals. So instead of us giving out a branded certificate at the end of their training mm-hmm. process, we worked with Google, Facebook, and Hootsuite to get them 11 industry credentials. So when they graduate, you know, their certificates will never, you know, if we shut down, like we had an academy in Canada called Red Academy that actually went bankrupt. So all these poor grads are running around being like, I have a useless certificate now.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is get these 11, they're recognized around the world globally. Mm-hmm. They're recognized by industry. They show that you are the qualifications to work on the job. And the same way you hire an electrician, you want to make sure they have their ticket, or you hire a mechanic, you want to make sure they have their red seal. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to professionalize that for the digital marketing sector right now through Jelly Academy, and then working right now with multiple stakeholders on building a regulatory body, even for digital marketing micro-credential schools in Canada.
Interesting. Okay. So I know there's a ton of agency owners who listen to the podcast. Is your academy something that they can be using to train their own staff?
We've seen that a lot. Yeah, we've trained in-house staff to give them upskilling. And the great thing with the provinces across Canada, they cover 60% of the training fees. And so if you're upskilling, if you're looking for a job, the province doesn't fund it. But if you are an existing employee, the government loves supporting that, because then I think almost every province has about $10,000 per employee per year to do upskilling. So they become better employees.
Yes.
So that's been really, really exciting. And then at the same time, there's an amazing program in Canada called the Canadian Digital Adoption Plan. Mm-hmm. And so if your business has made more than $500,000 a year at one point in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. so 500K gross, that's not net, it's gross.
Yep.
You fill out a 20-minute survey, it's not even an application, and people are getting immediately approved, and they get three tranches of funding. They get $15,000 to do a marketing strategy audit, kind of workflow plan. Mm-hmm. They then get $7,300 to hire an 18 to 30 year old. And then they get up to $100,000 interest free loan from BDC.
Interesting. Yeah, that's years. Really good and to know.
Yeah. So we are certified as a digital advisor. So we're one of the many people you can choose from to do your digital audit strategy piece. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people have been using the budget to actually train their employees. So upskilling their employees with more digital literacy skills and using our Jelly Academy.
So cool. And then so where, if anyone wants to learn more about Jelly Academy, where can they go?
Just jellyacademy.com.
Jellyacademy.com.
We used to just have the .ca. We finally were like, you know, in the bidding, we finally bought the .com, but .ca works as well.
Okay. Good to know. Perfect. Yeah. So where do you see Jelly Digital Marketing and PR in 5 years time?
I think we bought our space a few years ago and we can really only fit like 20 staff. And so I just want to stay that size. So
you're happy with 20?
Happy.
20 man
happy.
Team.
I always hear from other agency owners, like the between 20 and 35 is like super awkward. It's less profitable. It's very tricky to run. You start taking on work you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't want to, but then like 35 and up is amazing and it's super profitable and the best and you're huge and you feel awesome. Mm-hmm. And you can get multiple locations, but we're like, I want to stay small. But mighty and cozy and, you know, have a good life and not have to take on work that doesn't fit, that we're good at.
Yeah.
And then, continuing to do that and focusing on the really good work with our kind of mix of digital ads, PR, social and SEO, kind of those four pieces.
Yep.
And then continue to see our, academy continuing to grow in a healthy way. And then our Marketing News Canada, publication, continue to see us putting out really good kind of diverse perspective stories about kind of the how awesome our marketing industry is in Canada and ways that we can continue to make it better.
Awesome. So it sounds like you put a lot of thought into where you want to be headed, you know, exactly the type of agency that you want to be striving for in 5 years' time. So that's awesome.
We hope. I mean, but again, you can never tell the future, right? Like, who knows what's going to happen next year? And you know,
it is true.
There's all sorts of, like, you know, not Chicken Littles running around, but there's some concern about the sky is falling and we need to be concerned. And so I think it's, I also want to be cognizant of that and
yes,
just do one day at a time and do a great job with what we have in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I agree. So we're going to be beginning to wrap up here shortly, but before we move on to the fast five, do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'd say this, if another really cool thing, just because of the talent challenge we had, and also just, I learned a few years ago, like I didn't realize the marketing industry, marketing world was, you know, I thought, again, I went in naively thinking we're part of this really like creative, inclusive, really cool world. And because we had Marketing Canada, I was like, let's create an award show. But I was like, let's study all the other award show out there. And I realized 3 years ago, every other award show in Canada for marketing and advertising had only ever had white jury members and had only given it to white winners. And it was a shock to me. I was like, what? How? What?
Interesting.
I'm part of this industry. I didn't think we were like that.
Yeah.
Like, we're like supposed to be cool and like really fun. But then diving deeper into it, I think, you know, there's an amazing organization called POCAM, People of Color in Advertising and Marketing, doing some amazing survey work. The CMA is doing the survey work, and everyone's realizing, wow, we are not very diverse. And so my encouragement and challenge to anyone is, if you have the chance to create some scholarships, if you have the chance to help people with diverse voices and perspectives get into digital marketing, you might take a kind of inspiration. There was a Vancouverite named Ryan Reynolds who started an amazing organization in the States called Creative Ladder, helping diverse voices get into advertising. There's some amazing organizations in Canada like POCAM that are working really hard to kind of lift up diverse voices in marketing and advertising. So if you can find ways to scholarship diverse voices, A, maybe they'll come and work for you and give a really cool perspective, or maybe they'll work in the industry and it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And you know, with supporting scholarships as well, you know, if it's somewhere where you're not 100% sure where to start as well. So I'm part of my local Rotary Club and they do scholarships. So you can always reach out to them. And the cool thing about Rotary is like 100% of the proceeds will go back. So it's not like they're going to take a cut and then, you know, it's not going to go directly to the scholarship. 100% of your money will go and they'll just kind of help facilitate stuff like that. They've got all the connections put in place already.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And then Inspire is another one that focuses on Indigenous youth across Canada. Or Empower is another one. Empower helps people get specifically more into IT, but also covering digital marketing. So
interesting. That's so
Empower,
cool.
Yeah, and Empower is like very intentional about kind of underserved communities, and Inspire focusing mostly on Indigenous youth.
Love it. That's so awesome. All right. Well, now we're ready to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. First question. What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell reframed how movements and revival and kind of change happens in the world.
What does your morning routine look like?
I've been doing workouts 3 mornings a week, so it kind of depends on the morning.
Nice.
I have some Greek yogurt mixed with some Nutella. And these things called Aussie Bites that you can get from Costco. And then some fruit. And I have a green tea. And then I'm typically just trying to get through with the kids. I've got 4 children at home. And so it's lunches and morning reading.
You're busy in the morning.
They haven't read yet. And then it's getting them off to school in their respective schools.
Love it. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There isn't. I haven't followed a specific person. I love reading books of people sharing about things that have changed their lives or the failures and the changes that have happened in their lives. But there isn't a CEO in particular that I've kind of fallen in love with or kind of like connected myself to. There's a lot of people I think have done some really cool things. Lane Merrifield is someone I really admire, one of the Dragons Den, and he built Club Penguin, which is, again, the original metaverse. If you've been following that, if you remember that from a long time ago.
Yep.
and just doing some great things with his wealth now. So I do find it interesting to see what people do with their wealth and how they manage it post sell and sale, and how they're using it to hopefully change the world and invest in some cool projects.
Use it for good. Yeah. Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, I have many favorite online tools. I love Answer the Public, if I had to pick one on the spot, because it's so powerful. Like, it pulls the data from Google Trends, but makes it really fun to look at. And so you can put in a word like review app or marketing agency, and it tells you all the things that people have Google searched typically for that term, and helps you come up with great blog topics, great blog ideas, and great videos that you can make as well.
Very cool. Love that tip. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career or started your business?
So many things, but it would be probably that I wish I had known to start an e-newsletter earlier. I wish I'd kept like a consistent communication pattern, almost like a journal of kind of where things are going with the agency. And then vlogging. I wish I'd vlogged from day one with our agency so I could look back at it and kind of see the progression and development of our agency. So yeah, more vlogging. And I like when we turned five, I did like the five biggest mistakes we made as an agency video series. But I wish I had been like consistent with it and got like more comfortable and better at it and just figure out how to do videos for myself, because I would video continues to be a superpower skill to have. And it continues to be one that is important to know how to use.
Amazing. I love that tip. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Darian. It was a pleasure to have you on today's episode. So thank you again for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.